Hi everyone, it's Elizabeth Ann Bach again, welcoming you to another show with Cliff Harwin regarding highly sensitive people. I hope everything's going well for everyone today. Remember, you can call in at 347-857-4311 and join us through our talk here today for 45 minutes. We're going to be discussing the topic conscientiousness and perfectionism. Are they strengths or are they weaknesses? And a lot of this pertains to the highly sensitive person and some of their traits that we've been discussing in a series of talk shows here. Let me welcome Cliff, our guest, and get him started with us today. Hi, Cliff. How are you today?
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Good. How's everything going with you?
Good.
Good, good. We've had some bad weather over here, so thank God today we don't have it. because we had some treacherous rain going on.
Well, I think we're expected to have some this afternoon. I'm located in New Jersey, and we're supposed to have some rain. So right now it's sunny, so that's
a good thing. Yeah. Today's our off day, so you got it. Your turn. Great. So anyway, I was introducing the topic we're going to talk about today. I just want to let you know that we still continue to get a lot, a lot of feedback for your show.
I'm very glad about that.
And we still continue to get a lot of interest with our topics. So let's keep it progressive so that people have a way to connect with us and, further learn how this highly sensitive person thing works. I was looking at your newsletter. I don't know how many listeners are listening that have joined your newsletter, but it's your newsletters are great. They're very informative, down to earth, and, just really, you feel warm and welcome when you read them. And educated, too. So
I thank you very much for that, because I really put a lot of thought into it. And a lot of the subject matter that goes into my newsletter is based on, things that people email me or, talk to me about, and also the things that are going on in my life, too. I try to make it personalized, and I find that people really relate to that.
Yeah, I was looking at this title, I'm Proud to be a Perfectionist. I don't know that I am, perfect. I think the attempt to be a perfectionist is where the issue might lie. I don't know, though.
That is true. That is true. I'm definitely a perfectionist, and when I talk to people about it, and also based on my own experience, when you think of perfectionism, and you think of being a conscientious person, you automatically think, you would think that people would think that that's a good thing, and normally other people do. But if you're a perfectionist or you're very conscientious, sometimes you don't feel very good about it. I'm hearing more. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Liz, but it seems that people that know that they're perfectionists or that they're conscientious, they don't think of it as a good trait. And, other people do. Other people do. And it's really amazing how, sometimes a strength that we have in ourselves, we take for granted, where other people might think it's a good thing. And I think that's part of being a perfectionist, is sometimes you focus on things that are negative about yourself rather than positive.
Well, Let me stop you for 1 second. I hate to be a devil's advocate.
Okay.
But my doctor would call that type A personality. But on the other side of the coin, it's like you're saying, if we have an outlook on something, whatever it is, besides, crime, if we have an outlook that, is positive and flows with the motion or action or thought, in a positive way, then, we can pretty much avoid any kind of negative or, adverse effects from whatever it is we're thinking or feeling. For an example, like you said, if we're trying to do our best and we're very conscientious,
right.
And when one takes pride in what they're doing rather than just take on this persona of, yeah, well, if it gets done, it doesn't, you know, this Joe Cool type persona, which seems to be the norm these days in a lot of ways. You know, you can't look like you're trying too hard. You know, you can't look like you're trying to be really good at what you're doing. You just have to be good. And that's not reality.
Well, that's a good point, because being a perfectionist is a good thing if it's not taken to the extreme, okay? The reality is that we can't be perfect all the time. And sometimes we lose track of that, even though, you know, we can intellectualize that, you know, no one is perfect. If you have it as part of your being, it can sometimes be overwhelming, and we tend to drive ourselves more than we should. You mentioned about type A personalities, and it seems that there's a very high percentage of perfectionists that have type A personalities. When you think of a type A person, you think of people that have time urgencies, you know, where they constantly have to be at certain places at certain times. I'm definitely like that because I make appointments all the time. And also impatience with themselves and others that causes irritation and exasperation. And I find that I'm that way a lot. And, you know, I have to really think about what I'm doing to myself. And sometimes you just get into the habit of thinking and acting a certain way. And sometimes that can stem from our childhood. You know, perfectionism is part of being a highly sensitive person, but it normally takes place in, you know, with experiences that you've had in childhood. And the fact that, you know, sometimes you try to be too perfect because you don't want to be scrutinized. Okay,
if you're in a position where you've been criticized or
you've been criticized, you might want to overcompensate to do something perfect. Okay,
right.
So you're kind of taking that step to not be realistic about your capabilities. And when you try to go over your capabilities and you try to go for something that doesn't exist, it can cause a lot of angst in your life.
Well, there's many factors to why someone is that way. It could be that they were boasted as children and have to feel like they have to live up to an expectation all the time. Or, like you said, plus there's going to be other psychological aspects that may go into it, and we wouldn't know that until, you know, someone was diagnosed properly by. But, yeah, absolutely, the idea of the highly sensitive person and these feelings that we're talking about, you know, again, I always urge people to go to your website, thehighlysensitiveperson.com.
Yes.
And take that quiz, because it really, while they're listening, if they have any suspicion of themselves being highly sensitive, that quiz really helps them narrow down their strong points and weak points, so that when we're discussing these topics, they can relate in with us to whatever topic. And then that would help them to become more aware of what to do, where their trait might be strong or weak.
Understanding and acceptance is really important if you are a highly sensitive person, if you are a perfectionist. Okay, if you understand why you're driven a certain way, you can work with it, and being a perfectionist,
being
a highly sensitive person, can be a positive thing.
Sure.
If you understand yourself, you're not going to go over your physical and emotional limits. You're going to set more boundaries for yourself and other people, and it's going to be a lot easier. In fact, you know, there's so many good traits that we have that I try to educate people how to utilize them rather than thinking of them as a negative. And, you know, being the subject today about perfectionism and conscientiousness, as I said, these are very good traits if it's viewed in the proper context, okay? Conscientiousness is a good thing when you try to do the best you can, but sometimes that can be perceived by others as a way to take advantage of us, okay? Because companies are downsizing, you know, you have less staff, And, you know, the people that are left standing are basically sometimes the most conscientious people, and they're asked to take on the load of other people that have gone. Okay, so sometimes that can be very overwhelming, and sometimes we have to tell, you know, the people that we work with that you can only do so much, and you have to do things according to priorities. And we
the highly sensitive person can better utilize, you know, feeling this overwhelming. I mean, I think even if they're not feeling like they're a highly sensitive person, and they're looking in and saying, well, you know, perfectionism or conscientiousness doesn't always relate to just someone who's a highly sensitive person. So when you are a highly sensitive person,
you're right,
and you're looking at the idea that, you know, how does a highly sensitive person deal with this, and that's like a double whammy, because a highly sensitive person obviously in an employment atmosphere may already be feeling overwhelmed just because they're highly sensitive and pick up on all kinds of things, but then you take into consideration what you just said and how then somebody else kind of zones in on that and gets the idea that this person is willing and is you know. So how does someone in the workforce who's highly sensitive deal with that? 90% of the time what they do is, you know, they fail. They get you know, physically flustered and become, you know, depressed or withdrawn, or may take on physical illnesses because of all the stress.
Right. And that's something that, you know, once they understand how they are, they can take the break. Sometimes you have to take just a break. You know, you might feel overwhelmed at work at a certain project or something. Sometimes if you could take a 5 or 10 minute break and maybe go outside or maybe just, you know, just break the tension, that's part of the defense mechanisms that we can use to deal with that kind of situation.
Well, I think, you know what, I want to make a suggestion.
Sure.
I think what goes on with what could help a highly sensitive person more so than the average person that may not feel, you know, so overwhelmed is to, you know, anticipate what they've experienced. And now that they may have some knowledge based on our shows and based on what we've been talking about, giving them some awareness, they can anticipate that, okay, now I know that when I'm at work or I'm in a relationship or whatever they're doing, and that they can anticipate these moments.
Before they get to the moment,
they can actually have some kind of script in their mind.
We need that. I especially need that if I'm in a situation where at least I'm somewhat prepared, I can better deal with it. Although it could be stressful at times, I could better deal with it. But also sometimes we have to let other people know that we're stressed. We don't necessarily have to, you know, say it in those words, but we can, as I said, we can take a break. We can tell people that, you know what, I'm doing the best I can. I'm willing to do as much as you want me to do, but, you know, I'm involved with so many different things. What are your, you know, you say to your boss, what is your highest priority, and I'll focus my attention on that. Okay? So meanwhile, you're focusing, you're telling the person that, okay, I'm on your side, I'm willing to do what needs to be done, but I can't be at my best if I'm juggling so many different things. What is the highest priority? We could do it according to that. Okay, so
that's absolutely true. But now, you know, when you talk to a manager or other people in the workplace, in that office or wherever it is you're working, you're probably going to have a little bit of difficulty with being able to communicate because the awareness that these people want to have about what you're feeling is probably very small on a percentage scale.
Well, it's probably non-existent. But here's the thing.
You probably want to have the person deal with their highly sensitiveness in a way that we're giving them knowledge on how they can personally.
Right. Right. The best thing that they can do is to concentrate on one task at a time. And, you know, as I said, you know, something like that, it's true. Sometimes the boss doesn't want to know, the people in the organization doesn't want to know that you're overwhelmed. But meanwhile, okay, so what you have to say to yourself is, okay, what can I do to be as productive as I can for the tasks that need to be done? Okay, so sometimes you don't have to say, well, I'm overwhelmed. You could just say, what's your biggest priority at this point? What would you like me to focus on? Okay, so you're not making a demand. You're just asking that person, okay, what needs to be done? What needs to be done? What's the thing that has to be done first? Okay, and then you do it one step at a time. Okay, so that's why you're communicating your needs. You're not making a demand. Meanwhile, you don't have to get into your high sensitivity. You know, you don't have to do that. But as long as you know what you have to do, you could do it. And you can basically set the tone by making your needs known like that.
Yeah, the balance that we all try to strike with, our different responsibilities and tasks throughout our day, work, family, leisure, fun, whatever the case may be, is really the key. And being able to take people from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds that may come upon, something like this in their life at 25, 35, 45, whatever era they're in, because of, different factors that they were drawn to when they were being raised, their environment when they were growing up, all play a big factor. So how do you get everybody together and say, you know what, here's a one and for all, and this is the way you want to do it? because there's going to be a lot of people that, are going to be from different backgrounds. So it's hard to reach out to so many people. So I just
Okay, the thing is, you have to know what you need. You have to know what you need. Now, being a perfectionist, you want to function at your best. Okay? Sometimes we have to get more rest. Okay? I read an article recently that mentioned that because of the work situations with the downsizing, people aren't taking the vacations that they're entitled to because they're afraid of losing their jobs. Okay? Now, that could be a problem because if you're not getting your proper rest or breaks, it's not helping anybody. And it's really a personal choice. I mean, you really have that choice whether to take that downtime. You don't necessarily have to take, the whole week off, but you might consider taking days off at a time as you need to. And it's part of the strategy of self-care and the fact that sometimes you need a break from the office. Okay, you can't be in that constant worry that you're going to lose your job because you've taken a day off. Okay, if that's the situation you're in and you feel that that's what you need to do, well, that's your choice. But you really have to concentrate on getting rest outside of the workplace. Okay, but take the vacation time if you can do it. Okay, it's part of the strategy. It's really a personal choice.
Yeah, the thing I want to focus on, and I don't mean to be the devil's advocate, but
sure.
The thing that I think is important for people listening is that what I've seen a lot of is the, first of all, they don't always understand how to deal with feeling overwhelmed. The second thing is there aren't very many options for people who are highly sensitive and feeling overwhelmed to be able to just take a break. They don't always understand. So I think the focus is, you want to be able to, like you said, get in touch with how you're feeling. That's the key. You're going to have to break out of that mode of denial and, just understand that you are feeling a certain way and you're wanting relief from something that's bothering you or causing you to feel overwhelmed. But I've just seen it so many times in a workplace where the boss doesn't really care. They want the job done.
Right.
So if you're the type of person who has any kind of disability or, we don't want to say that highly sensitive person is a disability, but if you have anything that overwhelms you, you have to be realistic and strong about it. You just have to say, this is what I've got to do to get through a day.
Right. Well, the strategy could be you could do that, but also it's time to think about, I know it's hard to get a new job, but that's difficult the way the employment situation is now, but you might want to consider if you're unemployed now or if you're employed, you really, if you're employed, you need to think about, is this the right atmosphere for me? Okay. Now, I'm not saying you should leave your job, but there's no reason why you can't look for other situations. And you got to think about what situation would I best thrive in. Okay. If you're unemployed, well, this is an opportunity to really think about what you want and need. And then this way, you're not only going for a job interview. I mean, it's not just the employer interviewing you, but you need to really look at, you know, actually interviewing the employer. Okay, you need to visualize. You need to see the surroundings. You got to see the people that you're working with. Okay, you got to know that you got to, you know, we're very intuitive. Okay, we should use our intuition to look at a situation and to know whether it's right or it's not right for us. Okay, so.
Yeah, like you said in your newsletter, another problem of perfectionism is the extension of unrealistic expectations to everyone and everything.
Right.
And
right.
We're setting us up for
disappointment and frustration. Okay, you could look at a situation, you could deal with people, and people are not going to change, okay? We have to change our attitude towards them, okay? The article that I did in my last newsletter, it was my June newsletter, I'm proud to be a perfectionist. If anybody hasn't seen that, they can go to my website, www.highlysensitiveperson.com, and it's going to be in the June newsletter. It's going to be in the archives, or if it's not there yet, you can actually email me and I can send you the link to it. It just brings up very good points about being a perfectionist and to really know that don't set yourself up for failure by trying to think of things that don't exist. Okay, you know, sometimes we expect other people to think the way we do. Okay, we're very frustrated because we look at a situation and a person handles a certain way and it's a way that we wouldn't necessarily handle it. Okay, we have to realize that people are different. Okay, we can lose a lot of friendships just by trying to wish that other people were like us. Okay, I mentioned on previous calls that we can actually pick friends for certain kinds of things. If we go to an athletic event, you have a friend for that. If you want to go to a concert or a seminar, you have different friends for that. Okay, you have to realize that people are not going to change for you. People are the way they are. Situations are the way they are. And we can't change it. Okay, we can avoid it. We can, you know, it doesn't help us to be frustrated by it.
Yeah, what's painful is that you watch people deal with these emotions that could very well be taken care of if they knew and were under, you know, were aware of it. It's just like ADD or ADHD. I mean, we didn't know years ago per se. We weren't told that this was a condition. And to some degree, it's really overblown. I mean, it everybody's ADD if they don't do a certain thing, which is ridiculous. But
right.
it is still real, and it is still there. And I think that this kind of is the same type of thing where, you know, it just helps if you are aware for yourself. It's very frustrating if you're very sensitive to things and you're not aware of your difference from other peers around you.
Differences don't have to be a bad thing. That's what we automatically assume, that if we're different, something is wrong with it because we're
But it's not a highly sensitive person's fault because a lot of times they're not.
Well, as I said, it's not something wrong with them. It's a part of their inherited trait.
They're not down with it. It's the other people around them that make comments like, "Oh, you're so sensitive," or
"Well, you know what?
The
thing is, sometimes we're down on ourselves because what it comes down to is self-esteem. Being a perfectionist is a self-esteem problem. Okay, perfectionism is a good thing. As I said, it can be a good thing if it's used the right way. If perfectionism is too extreme, it's kind of a way that we use as a defense mechanism to hide our insecurities about ourselves.
Okay.
If we're insecure about ourselves, what other people say and do, and sometimes we go to the point of, we try to do things too perfect because we're looking for validation. Okay. What it comes down to, if you're feeling good about yourself, You don't have to validate yourself to other people, and you don't have to prove yourself to other people, and you don't have to be hurt by other people if you in your heart know that you're okay.
Yeah, I would encourage everyone who's listening to listen to some of the other shows so that you can get an idea of how we define the highly sensitive person, and visit the website, and that's in my listed in my blog as well, so that you can get an idea of what we're talking about. And today we're talking about the perfectionist and conscientiousness of a highly sensitive person, and how this is an advantage or disadvantage, and how it challenges the highly sensitive person. I think the key that we want to focus on here is what makes this different when, you know, the difference for the highly sensitive person. I think that that's really the key here, in focusing on what better tactics someone can utilize if they are highly sensitive. Highly sensitive people have a tendency to internalize things a little deeper than the average person or other people, I should say. They have a tendency to be a little bit more detailed about surroundings and what's going on, and they seem to want to dissect everything they observe. It's just a form. Highly sensitive people have a form of being withdrawn because they are so observant. In that time observing, they're kind of a little more withdrawn. It's not the same withdrawn as someone who's depressed or psychologically diagnosed with, any kind of personality disorder. But just to kind of give people an idea of what and how the highly sensitive person is.
Okay, what I want to emphasize, you put up a couple of good points where sometimes, actually a good part of the time, we highly sensitive people tend to internalize our feelings. And we feel that sometimes we have to take on our problems by ourselves. And that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes, you know, counseling definitely helps. I coach highly sensitive people where they're hearing it from a person that's really I'm on the high side of being a highly sensitive person, so I give my perspective. It's very important you get different perspectives to know that that you're okay, and that you're not flawed, and you're just working with what you have. And as I said, between talking to other people that are highly sensitive, between learning about how you can best deal with situations, that's how you're going to be able to utilize the best things that highly sensitive people have. It's not to say that highly sensitive people don't have their share of problems. We all do. But I want to emphasize that highly sensitive people don't necessarily have more problems than others. Okay? We might think that, but that's something that we think we have more problems than others, but that's not
necessarily
the case.
Well, two things. It's not that a highly sensitive person wants to think that way. I think it's inborn over time because of the things and the feedback that they get for their sensitivities. But I wanted to mention something, too, and that is physical aspects of being highly sensitive, which would probably slide over into the anxiety realm. And so with anxiety, it would probably be more of a trait for someone who's highly sensitive. And we know there's a good anxiety and there's a bad anxiety, so I think this falls more into the disruptive anxiety, anxiety that might. So people listening, if you're having any issues with being highly sensitive and you have any kind of physical trait from your give us a call. Let's talk about it and share it with us so we can help educate everyone else and talk you through it. I think, that's something that is also a big factor in how a highly sensitive person gets along and deals with. That's a lot to overcome. We just kind of sit here and talk lightly about
it. Well, it is.
You mentioned
about, constant overwhelm. How does it manifest in people's lives, constant overwhelm? Okay, well, if you're constantly overwhelmed and over a course of time, it definitely affects your immune system. Okay, when your immune system is compromised, that's how you get sick. You can have all different kinds of physical ailments, headaches, backaches. Anything that you can think of can be caused by a compromised immune system that can be caused by your emotional and physical state. Okay, I'm definitely going through some tough times right now, and the fact that I do have some health issues, and you know, sometimes it's good to, you know, you can intellectualize that you can, you know, you should slow down, you should really take time to think. Well, it's true that once you get bogged down in the, you know, in the game of life, you sometimes forget about that. And I mentioned in my newsletter in January, as I said, I've started to, you know, experience more physical health problems, and I tell people how I'm dealing with it. Okay, one of the best things that I've done is to exercise. I mean, I'm having arthritic problems, and I joined a health club that's associated with a local hospital, and I'm basically going through an exercise program 3 times a week. And going in the hot, they have a hot tub, and exercises related to my situation. And I've made it a point to go 3 times a week, and I spend two and a half hours each time. Okay, now it's hard to juggle that time in between, you know, what I do. But I've made it a priority. You have to make it a priority to help yourself, and you have to go for the help that you need. Okay, you have to talk to other people. You have to go to a physician if you're having health problems. If you're having emotional problems, you should go for counseling. Okay, I mean, there's all different kinds of programs that are based on how much you can pay. Okay, there's religious groups that have counseling. Okay, you need to talk to other people. There comes a time when you need to reach out to other people, okay? It's really ironic that people come to highly sensitive people to help handle their problems, okay? And we like that because we're good at handling other people's problems. In fact, sometimes we're better at handling other people's problems than we are our own. And people come to us because we can give good advice, and we're empathetic, and, you know, people really feel that we can help them, and we can. But I was just going to say
the key word out of that sentence was empathy, and I think that it's more interrelated than we might think. This highly sensitive person and having extra awareness to our surroundings, but just some people just handle it better than others, and that kind of sure. falls into the nervous system. And so, you know, what differentiates you from being able to be highly sensitive to your surroundings and another person is maybe this factor of how it affects you physically. And, you know, so that that's a big kind of mystery.
The mind-body connection is really, that's been, I mean, I really believe in that. Dr. Herbert Benson had mentioned that years ago, and it's really true. And it seems that highly sensitive people are more apt to nurture others rather than themselves. And I think that we need to focus on ourselves too. Okay, it's very easy to get caught up with other people's problems, but we don't sometimes get in tune with the problems that we have. And we have to make choices. That's another thing. We have to make choices. I mean, I'm giving some things up that I really don't want to give up, and I feel very guilty about it. But I'm at a point now where there's certain things I just can't do at this point. Not to say that I can't do them in the future, but you know, I'm trying not to beat myself up by not doing certain things.
And that's been a challenge.
That's been a challenge. But I need to feel better in order to do better.
You don't want to add to any time you're going to say to yourself, "I need to stop doing this. It's something I feel like I need to do." And you spend any amount of energy beyond that, you should know that you're going into the danger zone. If you are feeling like this is something I don't want to do, I can't do this, because it's something somebody else expects you to take on that is kind of, you know, not expected of you, that's definitely an elimination right there. So a highly sensitive person who's listening in can really benefit from that little bit, that little piece of information right there.
Yeah, and you know, it's, and I think that a key word is not to feel guilty about doing what you need, doing what you need to do to self, to, you know, to self nourish yourself.
And I think we all know that. So we do know that,
and not all people understand, because if we have to give up some activities, some people are going to understand and some people aren't. The people in your life that understand are people that you call friends. Okay? If they don't understand, you know what? These people don't care for your best interest, and maybe these are people that we need to keep our distance from.
Well, we definitely do. I mean, we definitely do. There is no question.
And that's easier said than done, too.
It is. It is when you're married to someone like that, or it is when you're it's a family member and there's different connections.
It could be anybody. It could be friends that you've had
Boss.
For years. It could be
sure.
anything. And,
sure.
and sometimes you just have to make these choices. And we have to make choices anyway.
Right.
Okay. And they're hard to make. So why not make better choices? I mean, it's very easy to say that, Liz. I know it's very easy to say that. But
yeah.
when you're used to trying to please others and trying to put your best foot forward, that's where perfectionism comes in. That's where sometimes if you're conscientious to a point where it's not helping you, these are the things that stem from your childhood, and then you just live them out in your adult life.
I think the biggest thing I see. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say that the biggest thing I see with people in conditioning is the idea of this, you know, inner child, and I think that we've come to use that term freely as if, you know, we are all in the capacity of being doctors, you know, in psychology. But I think the inner child is the key here. And, you know, once we understand what our issues are and where they come from, then, you know, we can better deal with them. But highly sensitive people don't always have dysfunctional family lives. They don't always have...
I don't come from a dysfunctional family. I don't. I come
right.
from a normal family. And my parents, I have to say, really tried to do the best for me. But they weren't perfect, okay? They weren't perfect, okay? I think I mentioned on a previous call that I mentioned that my father pushed me into Little League. You know, that's the
right.
you know, that's the baseball league, okay? And he basically, you know, I felt very uncomfortable because, you know, I was very self-conscious. But, you know, when you're a kid, you're self-conscious anyway. But being the highly sensitive person that I am, I was more self-conscious. And for him to force me into this made things worse. Okay, you know, I can't hold that against him because he really felt that this was something that he felt would help me. It didn't.
Exactly.
It didn't. Okay, it's not gonna.
Yeah.
It's not gonna help me to bash my parents for forcing me to do this. They did the best.
Right.
thing. Okay, and that's what I want to point out with perfectionism. Okay, the people closest to us, maybe they didn't act in the way that we would have liked. But we have to see the spirit in which they were acting. Okay? If they were acting in our best interest,
exactly.
we got to see that. If they weren't acting in our best interest, you know what? There comes a point when you have to forgive and you have to forget.
Exactly.
That you can't take away
That's a
your
huge,
past.
Huge point. That is a huge point.
You
right
can't
there.
Take away you know what? You can't take away your past.
Yeah.
The only thing you could do is learn from it.
Sure.
The only thing you can do is learn from it. And that's why, as you say, it's very important to go back. Okay, that's why in my book, I went back to my childhood, and I mentioned the lessons that I learned. Okay, and it's something that I feel I'm a better parent because of what I've learned. Okay, where, it's okay, you want to push your children into certain, you know, not push them, but you want to really look at what they do best and where they thrive and to actually encourage them into the right things, okay, rather than trying to push them to things that you think might be a good thing. You might have to
do that.
Well,
like you said,
the key
is that a parent, especially, you know, in a latter time, 20 years ago, I mean, especially then, parents thought nothing of encouraging this behavior. And you may not notice some things, benefits that came from that, you know, you kind of took for granted had you have not had that push. But there again, it wasn't your favorite sport. So there's a balance. You know, there's that I didn't really like this sport. Maybe you would have liked it if you weren't shoved into it. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe but I would have. Maybe by playing baseball rather than being in an organized league where you're constantly scrutinized. Okay, scrutinized is a terrible thing for, you know, feeling scrutinized is a terrible thing for highly sensitive people. Something else I want to bring out about perfectionism is also the competitive and workaholic society that we're in now contributes to being a perfectionist. Whether you be a child, whether you be also, it's very important for parents not to have kids learn more than they're capable of learning or having them do more activities than they really want to do. It's okay to have extracurricular activities, but it's not good to bombard them with constant activity, especially if they might be highly sensitive.
Yeah.
Too much activity is not a good thing. The right activities
really
are
important.
Good things, but you really need to know, I guess, when to push your child and when not to push your child, whether they're highly sensitive or not. And that's something that a parent intuitively knows if they really think about it. Okay.
Yeah,
and that's
it's just peer pressure around them, too.
And that's what this pressure on them, this pressure on them, this pressure on everybody. Okay.
No, but they're trying to do, they want their kids to look a certain way, status quo, and that kind of is where we have a lot of problems. And, you know, this is part of our history, but, you know, like you said, it is important for parents to, you know, to try and just be good parents and not worry about, you know, what the neighborhood is doing, but to be a good parent and really listen to your child. And if they are sensitive, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, something you have to be
considerate
of. It's
not a bad thing, but, you know, you can encourage them to utilize their high sensitivity. If they go to my website, if they look at my newsletters, I have resources for different things that will help them in this respect. People can always email me at cliff@thehighlysensitiveperson.com, thehighlysensitiveperson.com. I do have a free monthly newsletter.
Awesome website.
And also with my book. It's autobiographical, and basically you can use it as an outline because I do post questions at the end of each chapter, okay? And I really want people to really – I didn't want it to be a Cliff book. I wanted it to be a book that people can look at their lives and apply their lives to what I wrote about. And
I want to point out that our show is coming to a close here.
It went fast, Liz.
I don't want you to get cut off. And but thanks for waking me up today. I'm awake now. So until next time, I hope everybody had a good time listening and downloads the show. And we'll see you then.
Liz,
thank
you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.